The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this past few Sundays, we heard time and time again what Christ did, feeding the thousands and then introducing what he wanted us to hear and believe and accept, that he is the bread of life. All Christians have read this, bread of life. But sadly, we know not all Christians actually are benefiting from this wonderful gift from Christ. Because sadly, we have Christian brethren who only have what they call pastors, but not really ordained priests. And because they are not ordained priests, they cannot be instrument to make the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. Born again Christians, they are so good in telling about Christ, but when you ask about the Eucharist, sad to say, they fall short. Why? I know this. Because even in the seminary, they tried to even convert seminarians. And some of us became emotional with regards to experiencing Jesus. But when we ask later on about the Eucharist, somehow they said, that feeling is enough. You and I know that that is not enough. Because feeling something for Christ is nice, but eventually you have to what? Follow, obey, appreciate what he has given. And he has given us himself. Again, in the Philippines, I don't know about you if you heard it, that they call us fools or nuts or crazy for believing, or they would even say, "Hey, you Catholics, you actually drink blood." Because of their ignorance, they keep insulting the Catholics and some Christians who believe in the Eucharist. Ignorance. And sometimes, what can we do? Even we explain to them that we have the bread and the wine, And it is what you call transformed into something else. Some people think that that all Christians are the same. If all are the same, why are there divisions? If all are the same, then there should be only one teaching, one faith. But no, it's not. It is not the same. Because many profess to be Christians and yet do not follow everything that Christ said. Most especially, do you know that we call the Eucharist the most august sacrament? August, not the month August, but the meaning of August is supreme. Of the seven sacraments that we have, the most supreme of all the sacraments is the Eucharist. And we are so privileged as Catholics and hopefully all Christians to be able to receive this most supreme sacrament. For my flesh is real food and my blood real drink. That is why when we come here, you can still taste the bread, you can still taste the wine, because it is real food and real drink. But something else happened or is happening during the consecration. What makes the bread bread and what makes the wine wine is no longer, it's different now. Something happened. And why it happened? Can it happen? Yes, it happened because Christ said so. When he said, "This is my body," he's not saying, "This is a symbol of my body." He didn't say, "This is my blood, a symbol of my blood." No. That is why it is very important. Since we believe that Christ is God, what do we have? Kneelers. We kneel before God to pray. Kneeling is a submission, not to the priest, but to God Himself. We don't kneel in protest, like some nuts out there. They have used kneeling as a protest rather than as an act of humiliation, an act of submission. Some nuts out there have used, I don't understand these people. You know? Why these people are using something wonderful, kneeling down before the Lord? But no. There are so many, be careful out there. I only have you a few minutes. And some of you are so fast moving, you can't even wait for the hour to last and get out of the church. But there outside, you are bombarded with too many fake news, wrong ideas, crazy ones. And how can I compete with that? Unless you protect yourself by praying more, by reading more, by asking God for guidance, and of course, avoid those things that will taunt you to hate, to be angry, to judge. Remember, the devil is working, like remember the story of the field. The farmer planted good seed. And right there, right after that, the devil planted weeds. Because each of you, the devil wants to go to hell. Each one of you, all of us, the devil will work 24/7. Work on you and make you doubt God, make you hate yourself, make you angrier and angrier every day. And once you have this anger inside you, he has a hold on you. No? So ask yourself, is my faith helping me to be more loving, more forgiving, more merciful, because that is what Christ is? Or is my faith so superficial that once I get out of this church, I'm still angry, I'm still judgmental, I'm still full of myself? What is this religion that I have? No? Because, again, it's your choice. Whether you make religion something true, something real, something intense, or superficial. Whether you just come on Sundays and that's it. That it doesn't affect your everyday choices or everyday lives. That's what happened to priests, bishops, popes even. When we allow ministry and then forget about our relationship with God. No? When priests forget to pray, when priests don't grow in their love for Jesus, when priests become so involved with service that they forgot that it's all about glorifying God. And what happens when priests do not have a balanced life? We fall. We sin. We go against the will of God. And we have to be careful. That's why sometimes, guys, you have to realize we are not at your beck and call unless you're dying. That you can beck and you can call me anytime. But we need also our space. Not because we hate you, but because we need to what? Always recharge ourselves. Because if we lose track of that, and we only look at the ministry, we fall. And how many of us have fallen? How many of us have been careless? And it saddens me. For the priests who fell, for the bishops who made mistakes, but of course for the people of God who are scandalized by such actions. And because of that, we have to ask ourselves, when I hear such things done by priests and bishops, what do I do? Shall I hate the priesthood and condemn all priests? Or shall I pray for them? Pray for us. Pray for us that we continue to serve you, but do not lose track about Christ. Same thing with you. You come here, not because of the priest anyway. You come here solely to receive Jesus. Solely because it is Christ who is the center of our lives. We should never be priest-centered. It will always be Christ-centered. You always do everything for the glory of God. Because if you become priest-centered, what happens? You do things to please the priest. That's no good. Don't come here to please me. That's not my role. My role is always here. And when I lose track of this, leading you to Christ, then I fall. I am a failure as a priest if I don't end up leading you to God. If I end up being praised by people for whatever reason, I am a failure as a priest. But if I go and get transferred to another parish and you continue growing in your faith, that's good. But when a priest goes to another parish and then the people go to the priest where the priest went to another parish, is that priest-centered? Huh? Is that being priest-centered? Yes. This is your parish. This is where Christ wants you to be, regardless of who the priest is. Yes, we ask you to pray for us, but don't get attached to us. I'm not saying this because priesthood and the Eucharist are very much connected. And the devil is working very hard to destroy the priesthood, to destroy priests, and many of us have fallen. So once again, it is Christ who is the bread of life. It is Christ who came down from heaven. It is Christ who invites us to join this heavenly banquet. And we thank and praise Him for that. And, of course, asking you once again to pray for your leaders that we may continue to serve you well, all for the greater glory of the risen Christ.